Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
Welcome to our 330th program of Think Again, broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Think Again is a program of Borderlands Cooperative, an organisation working for social and ecological sustainability for over 25 years. I'm Jennifer Burrell.
And I'm Jacques Bonnet.
Today we have as our guest on our program, Jane Gardner from the Australian Conservation Foundation. Listeners may remember inspirational people from ACF we've had on the program before. Previous CEO Kelly O'Shaughnessy in May last year, and also Annika Reynolds last September. So today we're very privileged. Jane is going to talk about a wonderful campaign that ACF is currently running, Love Letters to Nature. It's so positive and heartwarming and timely. We just had to cover it on our program. So welcome to the program, Jane.
Good morning. Absolute pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. And so glad we've got you on the line too. And lovely to hear your voice. So firstly, Jane, can you remind listeners what ACF is all about and your own role and what drives you in your work?
Yeah, certainly. So the Australian Conservation Foundation is Australia's biggest national environment and climate and advocacy group. And we're celebrating 60 years of essentially standing up to the bad guys who want to exploit nature for profit. So we're essentially a campaigning organisation and a people power organisation. So we work on big, hard things like systems change. So our aim is to work to change the systems so that we can protect and preserve the things that we love and keep our families and our loved ones safe from harm. And we do this in a few different ways. So we disrupt business as usual that harms nature, and we create solutions for nature and climate. And then my favourite, we activate people to act. So that might be a petition to your local MP, or it might be turning up to a rally, or it might be, you know, taking part in any one of our 34 community groups across the country. But we very much are a people-powered organisation. So to give you a bit of an idea of what we've been working on recently, we had a big push to secure sweeping reforms to national nature laws, and more generally, we work to hold governments and banks and big polluters accountable for their destruction of nature and for fueling the climate crisis. One other thing to add is that we are, I think the thing that makes us so special is our people power. So we have almost 1 million supporters behind us at ACF, and we count a supporter not just as somebody who's on our email list, but we count a supporter as somebody who's actually taken an action for us of some sort. So when you think about it, that's 1 million Australians who care enough about nature and a safer climate to actually do something about it.
Yeah, it's a huge force.
Yeah, you sound a little bit like what Borderlands is all about as well. So good to be in that company. Could you please tell us, Jane, about the campaign, Love Letters to Nature? Can you describe the campaign and also a little bit of the backstory to what motivated it in the first place?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. This is one of my favourite campaigns that we've run here at ACF because it's just so beautiful and heartwarming. So I'm the Director of Engagement here at ACF, which is essentially just a fancy way of saying that I look after the communications and the marketing and all of our sort of public-facing stuff. So when we were planning for our 60th anniversary, I was tasked with doing a feel-good project that would get people involved and would help them express their love for nature in some way. And I remembered this story that I came across back in 2012, long time ago, but the story's just always stuck with me. And back then, the city of Melbourne assigned every tree in the city, so that's some more than 70,000 trees, with an email address. And the idea was that if the tree was looking poorly or it needed some maintenance, people could email that particular tree.
Mm.
So I think you know where I'm going with this. But it ended up being this incredible viral phenomenon where people all over the world were emailing love letters to these trees. And I just thought, how spectacular. You know, it wasn't even intended. I guess you could call it a happy accident. It wasn't intended to be a vehicle for people to express their love for trees, but people did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think that just says a lot about, both the people who live in Melbourne, who I know really care deeply about nature, but also that you could be motivated to spend a bit of time out of your day to write an email to a tree. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing is that after a while, because it went so viral, the tree started writing back. And I just loved it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so I thought, imagine getting an email from a tree. It'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, we can take that concept and broaden it and turn it into an interactive map where you can go onto a website, you can put a little pin in a particular place that is special to you, add a photo, add your love note, and then we can just have this beautiful archive, I guess, that just keeps running for years and more and more and more pins get added to it. And so we launched it for Valentine's Day. And you can go and check it out yourself at loveletters.acf.org.au. Or if you just go to our main website, which is acf.org.au, you'll see it there on the homepage.
Mm.
And go and have a poke around and have a look at what people are writing, because I have been absolutely gobsmacked and astounded by how creative and beautiful and touching and funny these notes are.
Oh, so, they are really wonderful, and we will have a bit of space to share some of that poetry too.
Mm.
I just want to remind listeners, you're listening to Think Again, 3CR, 855 AM on your dial, 3CR digital and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. And today we have Jane Gardner from the Australian Conservation Foundation on the line, and she's telling us about a very inspirational campaign called Love Letters to Nature. And Jane's been telling us how people from across Australia have been invited to write love letters to places in nature they feel personally connected to. And you can access that poetry and enter your own poetry on the website. So let's hear some of the letters that have been written so far. I know I have a few favourites, and I think Jacques does too. But Jane, would you like to read a couple of yours?
Oh, I would absolutely love to. And it's such a delight going into the map this morning and having a look through the new entries, which has become part of my morning ritual with my coffee. I just log on and see what beautifulness has been added to the map.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually picked a few that have just been put in for the last 24 hours, because how do you choose, right? They're all so good. Here's one from Nick from Moreton, New South Wales, and he's written to his favourite tree, which is a big spotted gum. And he says, "Dear Big Spotty, how is it that you've found your way into my heart? You who stumbled upon your wonderful location 5 centuries ago and set about expressing your freakishly beautiful genes. You who have done nothing but quietly grow to these amazing dimensions. You who now have unwittingly become the world champion of your species. And little me, now unashamedly loving you. Forgive me, but my love for you now sweeps me into action on your behalf. I have become your humble guardian. What more could I do? Yours forever, Nick."
Oh, that is so beautiful.
To get a tree mail, that's like a tree mail.
It is, yeah. Yep. So he's chosen a tree. I have another one which is quite poignant, and it's about the healing and restorative effects of nature. So this is someone who's just signed at KS from Amamore Creek in New South Wales. And they've written, "Dear Nature, you are the only place that has never asked me to be smaller than my feelings. When everything else feels loud and careless, when people speak without thinking and life moves on without permission, I never feel rushed with you. You never look away. You never try to fix me, but you always succeed. In the quiet of the trees, I hear the whispers of content on the wind. I am allowed to unravel without being judged for it. The forest does not flinch or hide from my grief. The rays of sunlight do not pressure me to move on. The mountains do not expect me to be strong. They simply surround me with their infinite perfection, asking, never demanding to stop and marvel at their beauty. In the way the sky changes colour at the end of the hard days, as if to say, there's always beauty somewhere if you look to the bees and trees.
That's so stunning.
Evocative. So, beautiful stuff.
Yeah, so I've got one from Cooma, New South Wales, called Core of My Heart. So it's lovely to also see that they're from all around Australia. So you get a really beautiful appreciation of places through these love letters. Anyway, this is Core of My Heart. You were my mother's playground when she was a kid, and then mine. I have crawled, meandered, walked and run through you. You raised me. We have had many conversations and moments of silence, as I have taken in the view from your lichen-spattered, mica-sparkling granite boulders. I have listened to the faintest songs of your tiniest birds, the wails and calls of your ravens, and the thumps of your roos in the distance. I have noticed your crystals of quartz glinting through the orange dirt. I have noticed your sunning lizards and your ambling echidnas. I have seen you dry, cracking, and buzzing with insects. I have seen your meadows of lilies, sunrays, orchids and daisies after the rain. Every time, even now, after more than 30 years, you reveal yourself more and more to me. A lifetime would not be long enough to fully know you.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
I love how that speaks to the, you know, if you spend enough time in nature, you begin to observe the rhythms and the patterns and the changes around you. And at first it's subtle, but then you realise that, you know, you can go out there and you can see the changing of the seasons if you're observant enough in nature. And it's just such a beautiful feeling, you know.
If you're still and observant and sit with nature, I guess, that nature it's not a postcard, it's something we're part of and you have to sit with it to see those changes. And I love, I guess, what you've highlighted to me too, Jane, is that reciprocity, that they're sending a love letter to nature, but they're having a conversation with nature long before this love letter that they've written, which expresses that reciprocity, that conversation between them and nature.
And it's in a way, it is in a way also a rather belated reinvention or continuation of the relationship Aboriginal people had with nature and with the land, and who expressed it in their own way, in their living ways, and we express it with words and with thoughts, and we probably should start to translate that into relational acts much more than we actually have done for the last 200 years.
And I suppose in our dominant system, we're not part of nature, we're not being with nature, we're dominating nature,
extracting it
from nature. Mm-hmm. It's something to get something from for ourselves.
It's moving from an extractivist kind of way of thinking about what surrounds us.
So Jacques, did you have a poem?
Yes, I very much liked Walking with Ghosts at the Prom. I first came to you as a boy, pockets full of sand, the world still wide and unfinished. Back then, everything felt enormous, the granite peaks, the endless wind, the way the rocks fell away towards the sea and the southern edge of the mainland. The taste of Bass Strait. Years later, I returned as a man, walking the same path, each step doubled, mine and the echo of the boy I once was, racing ahead through the scrub and across the beaches. I could almost see him there, cresting the hill first, calling back without turning.
That's stunning. I'm just so impressed by how articulate and how many amazing writers there are out there.
That's right.
I know. It's incredible. And that's another story of a person's history with nature too, that I've grown with you, we've grown together.
That's right.
I think I've got time to read a bit of it. A couple of them are too long, but I thought I can read a part of one of them. There's one That's what you hold for me, Torquay in Victoria. So I'll just read half of it, but people, if you want to see the whole thing, go to the website, Torquay. So where do I begin with you? You are a tapestry woven from the extremes of my life, youthful excitement and crushing loss, searing heat and cold wash of sadness. You are not just a coastline to me, you are a keeper of my history. You hold the remnants of two people I loved. You are the resting place for my grandmother's dust and the site of my uncle's departure. I think of them when I visit, and I think of them when I don't. Knowing that they are with you is comfort. They rest somewhere so special to our family, and somewhere alive where the waves keep moving.
I keep thinking about Australia as a nation of poets rather than that kind of a brashness of maybe often as being seen as and like to be seen as. Could we sort of go back to the purpose of your campaign, Jane? Could you talk a little bit about the current situation of nature in Australia more broadly? Why is it that it needs our advocacy so much, and what ACF is doing about it?
Well, put simply, nature needs us, and it needs us now. If we don't stand up for nature in the halls of Parliament, and if we don't stand up to the climate wreckers who are destroying our planet for profit, everything's going to get a lot worse. Mm. And you said earlier that, you know, we see ourselves as somehow separate from nature. Well, we're absolutely not. We depend on it to live. Yeah. It's the air that we breathe. It is for our health and our mental health, even our economy, a large part of our economy depends on nature. And in this country, unfortunately, it's in crisis, and you might not see that in your everyday experience of nature, because much of the bulldozing of the bush, for example, is happening on private land in this country. Mm. It is in crisis, and we need to really raise our voices to protect it. So I think it was Dr. Seuss who wrote that unless someone like you cares an awful lot, nothing was going to get better. It is not, and that is true.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think most Australians love nature. That's undeniable. But really only a fraction of us are actively standing up for it, and we need more people to show power and speak truth to power about the state of what's happening in our country. And I'll just, if I may, I might just give you a few stats just to give you a bit of a snapshot of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So Australia is among the world's worst deforestation hotspots, and up to 500,000 hectares of habitat is razed annually.
Mm.
So if you think about that in a number that makes more sense, every hour in Australia, bulldozers destroy the equivalent of 28 Sydney Opera Houses worth of threatened species habitat.
Wow, that's quite a visual, really. Yes. That really brings that stat to home. Can you just say that again?
So every hour in Australia, bulldozers destroy the equivalent of 28 Sydney Opera Houses worth of threatened species habitat. So this includes koala habitat. And, you know, the depressing thing is that even Australia's most iconic animal, the koala, is at risk of extinction in New South Wales by 2050. Can you imagine an Australia without koalas? It would be an absolute shame if that was allowed to happen.
Mm.
And this might be a bit shocking to your listeners as well, but more forest is bulldozed here in Australia every year than for Indonesia's entire palm oil sector.
God.
What?
Oh, my God.
So that's, you know, the situation with nature in terms of bulldozing is really grim. We're lucky that we do have, and this is one of the campaigns that ACF worked really hard on for 10 years, more than a decade, was to get stronger national nature laws. So they're being set up at the moment, and that will include an independent environmental protection agency, which really needs to be as strong and independent as it says on the tin, but this is going to make a difference. So, you know, good things are happening, but it took an awful lot of people power and pressure on government to get that to happen. And the other thing that's impacting nature, of course, is climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading just yesterday about the southern bent-winged bat. And this is an amazing little creature that just lives in this tiny part of Victoria and a little bit of South Australia. And its numbers in the wild have gone from more than 200,000 to just 40,000 in a decade. And climate change is affecting the microclimate of the caves. It's affecting its food source, and bats are incredibly sensitive to climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably would have read the toll that our recent extreme heat days had on flying foxes in Melbourne.
Yeah, really they were bad. Falling from the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're very sensitive to heat. And look, this is just one of so many different species who are at risk of extinction due to a changing climate. So if we don't get the temperature stable by cutting emissions as soon as possible, what we will lose is just, it's incomprehensible, and it's frankly, it would be a tragedy. So there's a lot of work to do, and it's hard because we're up against the fossil fuel lobby, and they are powerful, and they have deep pockets, and they're stalking the halls of Parliament, making deals to get what they want. And it's, we're up against it. But what they don't have is people power.
Power. And I guess the challenge is to get this all at the forefront of people's consciousness, because in our everyday lives, we don't see what's happening to our environments and our rare species that are becoming extinct. It's not in the front of our consciousness. Mm-hmm. People are more worried about, getting the dinner, going to work, catching the train, and all the stuff that's in the news. You don't see any of this in the news.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get the attention in the media cycle that it deserves. And I feel like it's really easy to kind of just put your blinkers on and not have to acknowledge the big problems out there to add on top of the other big problems that we're contending with. Mm. And they call this the polycrisis, right? There's just too much going on in the world. It feels too big. It feels too overwhelming. And I guess, like, coming back to Love Letters to Nature, it doesn't have to be depressing. So you can, the old saying is that action is the antidote to anxiety. So you can do this in a way that expresses your love and feels good. You don't have to feel overwhelmed or depressed, because once you realise that there are so many people just like you around the country, and it's not a reflection of what's in our social media feeds and the ugliness in the comments section. That's not true and real.
Yeah.
What's true and real is that we do care. Mm-hmm. The majority of us do care, and we're good people, and we want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then particularly also our politicians nowadays saying that we should turn the temperature down in our ways of talking and our ways of demonstrating. They never mean that.
Turn the global climate
temperature down, exactly.
No, unfortunately, they're not saying that, and that's the problem.
Maybe we could do a riff on it anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, Jane, what can listeners... I mean, we will put links on our program page to your to the ACF and campaigns, but especially the Love Letters to Nature page. But can you tell us... our listeners are generally listeners who really do care, and there's a lot of probably a greater danger in them becoming depressed or pessimistic or defeatist or disenchanted. Mm. So what can our listeners do?
Oh, well, so many things. I mean, one of the key elements to our strategy at ACF is about joy and fun and hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that our organisation is kind of centred around those values. So most of the things that we do are actually a joy to be involved in. So I'll tell you some of the things that people could do if they're interested. So... have a look at our website is the first step, and there's any number of sort of petitions and actions that you can get involved in to take action on both climate and nature. We also have community groups all around the country. So there's a number of community groups in Victoria that people can join, and these are people just doing things in their own backyard. They sort of run a little bit autonomously to ACF, but we give them support to act for nature in a way that makes sense to them. So there's lovely little local programs that people can join. You can become a member of ACF. It's only $10 a year, and that means you can actually be part of our governance structure and be informed about all of our campaigns and have a say on our strategy, which is a wonderful thing for people to do. We also have this awesome citizen science project coming up, and this is one of my favourite projects. It's called Crowdsourced Investigations. So what it is you can sign up And you go to the website or you can do it on your mobile phone, and you look at, it's kind of like a game, you look at satellite imagery before and after photos, and what you're trying to spot is any evidence of illegal deforestation at places where we think it's happening. So we get these citizen scientists, and you can be one too, to scroll through these images, report them, and then our investigations team will go and check it out. And if they find enough evidence that trees and habitat have been knocked down on private land, well, the landholder will get a letter from our legal team, or it will be reported to the federal government to investigate and make sure that we can stop that.
What a great campaign. Mm. And that's really leveraging... It's really leveraging that everyone can take films and photos these days on their phones.
It's a way you don't even need to.
I mean, you just need to have a scroll through the satellite imagery that we will provide. And I guess this is, you know, not everybody wants to turn up to a rally. Not everybody is kind of extroverted. A lot of us are introverted, and we like doing things from our phones. So
and being in nature.
That's right. So it's just another way that you can get involved without, you know, necessarily needing.
It's a way of turning up the temperature rather than down, which is good.
In a good way. So I'm conscious that we're coming near to the end of the program. Is there anything very quickly you wanted to add?
Yeah, just two more things. So we have this community fundraising event called Australia's Biggest Bushwalk. So that's like a peer-to-peer community fundraising event that we run in May. So if you love being out in nature, then you can actually form a little bushwalking team and raise funds for ACF that way. So just go to the ACF website or australiasbiggestbushwalk.org.au to register your interest for that one. And the second one thing is that ACF does not take government funding for very good reasons. Mm-hmm. We have to be completely independent from government in order to lobby them. But we are 100% funded by just everyday people out in the world. So if you feel inspired by anything what I've said today, we would love it if you could give us a donation so that we can continue the amazing work that we're doing.
Fabulous. Mm. Thank you so much, Jane. Thank you for coming on the program and sharing the ACF campaign Love Letters to Nature, which we obviously love, which is why we've featured it on this program. And thanks for your inspiration and giving us lots of ideas how we can join with ACF and other campaigns to really advocate for nature before it's too late.
Thanks so much. I've really enjoyed being on the program, and I'm so glad that you love Letters to Nature. I love it too. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more entries on the map.
Thank you, Jane.
Fabulous. Thanks to our listeners for tuning into Think Again live on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to contact us or give us feedback, you can email Borderlands on borders@borderlands.org.au. Our programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and on the 3CR website, 3cr.org.au.
Meanwhile, please enjoy Wala Is Life by Alara.
Wala is life. Wala falls from sky. Rain beginning of life. Like our kinship ties. In Mother Earth's eyes. River banks flow wide. Fingerling swim wild. Making Mother Moon smile. Hasn't rained in a while. Wala is blood. Wala gives flood. Wala is life.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.